The Colorado State Rams men's basketball team did crack the top 25 again in the coaches poll. They are sitting at number 23. However, did not crack the top 25 in the AP top 25. I'm trying to see how many did they even get. They had 13 votes behind Iowa, BYU, Davidson, Alabama, San Diego State, Miami, Oregon, and West Virginia. But they had enough to move them up into the coaches' poll. So it's a great sign. I know that a lot of Rams fans are ticked off about the AP not putting them in there. But I'm they've won two in a row. You beat Utah State. You seem like you're kind of shaking the rust off because you absolutely worked Tim Miles and the Spartans over the weekend, which I really wish that would have been reversed, Tim Miles at Moby Arena. But you win 78-42. So that, blowing out a team, any team like that, and San Jose State's already on the improve, does turn some heads a little bit. But the fact that you lost by 30 with your real true road test of the season to San Diego State, still going to have people hesitant. So if you're the Rams, it's right in front of you to get in the top 25. It's still sitting there. You're sitting at 13-1. 3-1 in the conference, though. And fourth place. Wyoming's 1-0. They haven't played conference games in forever. Or finally got one, but COVID issues with them and other schools, which is the case for everybody. San Diego State 2-0. Boise State sitting at 3-0. And, of course, CSU was supposed to play Boise State a week and a half ago. But COVID issues with the Broncos side of things forced the Rams to play that San Diego State game probably a little earlier than they wanted to. So they have New Mexico coming up on Wednesday. Must win at home. New Mexico's the worst team in the conference. You absolutely have to go blow them out of the water. Then you're at Air Force. That's the key. Air Force, probably going to be a middle-of-the-road conference team, maybe better, maybe worse. Right now, they're worse. But they'll, as Kevin Lytle told us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, in last week, they're going to take care of home court. So that'll be a tough game. Still expect CSU to win. Then you're home against Nevada and UNLV the next two games before going to Wyoming. So I'm thinking, CSU, you want to sniff that top 25 again? You want to get there in the AP side? Again, fair or unfair, that's what you're going to have to do. I think you got to win the next four games. And then you go to Wyoming, and whoo, look out. Things are going to get really interesting. Graham McKee is the big guy that I think everyone's saying is going to give David Roddy a run for his money. I'll believe that when I see it. The beautiful part about this, the game against San Jose State, was you didn't need Roddy to do much. You didn't need Isaiah Stevens to do much. I mean, Roddy had 6 points. Stevens had 10. Roddy did have 11 boards. Thought about making him a candidate for my player of the week this go around, but, I mean, come on. Look at Joker's numbers. I mean, Joker could probably put my player of the week every week, but that's, you know, we do try to look at I try to look at the situations, too, of the games that they were in. Obviously, beating the Lakers by 30, I'm going to factor that in every single time. This was a game I fully expected CSU to win and win by whatever the hell the spread actually was. But this was a nice game because everybody was getting in the mix. You had Tanjay with 7, Rivera with 12, Jacobs with 6, Lake with 8, Moores with 8, Stevens had 10, Moore had 7, Roddy with 6, and then Deshaun Thomas had 14. Thistlewood's still trying to find his shot, trying to find his nose for the hoop, for the rim. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Eastside Chris, my player of the week is Chief Dixon. He just keeps grinding. And it is official, by the way. Dixon, as much as I want to, he is the arch nemesis of the show. He is a hooligan. He is a Hall of Famer, but he is also he is the enemy of the program. and his Chiefs just throttled Pittsburgh, which I did call that, by the way. But it is official. Chief Dixon. Why am I calling him Chief Dixon? It is official. Dixon is the 2021 regular season fantasy, whole show fantasy football champion. His belt is ready to go. We just got to go pick it up at Award Alliance in downtown Greeley. We will be picking up your belt, and I will vomit, and I will throw up in my mouth a little bit as we go to hand the belt over and take the photo op for the press release that's probably never going to come out. But he did it. We do two different leagues, the two champs. We take whoever has the most points from their regular season, and that's the winner. So congratulations, Dixon. He did it. Hey. You know what? This is why he's the arch nemesis. I will give him this. He's good at what he does. He's good at what he does. Fantasy football, he's been pretty good over the years. So, I mean, you know what he earned? He works hard at fantasy football. He really does. We're going to talk to Jerry Schimmel coming up in the next segment. Not a lot of Bears action to talk about. They did practice. They had kind of like a little light scrimmage on Saturday because they didn't have a game. Like I said, only two games since Christmas for this team. UNC is another good basketball team in the area. So hopefully that we can get them rolling again later this week. They're supposed to play Idaho. So that one should be a Bears win. Then again, last time we saw this team around, they lost to Sac State. So, you know, you definitely need them to kind of just get back to that eyes on the prize mentality. They are sitting at 8-8. They are third in the conference behind Southern Utah and Weber State. They did beat Southern Utah, so that's got to be good. But they're, you know, the next upcoming games, Idaho, Eastern Washington, kind of middle of the road, Big Sky team. Then you got Weber State. I'm going to that game. That should be a lot of fun. Really looking forward to that. Weber State holding on to that number one spot in the conference right now. Again, First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available. Do you like the addition? In the last 2 years of seeing the seventh seed, essentially, in the AFC and the NFC. Both seven seeds, in this case, were annihilated with Kansas City destroying Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay just taking it to Philadelphia. Let's talk about that Philadelphia-Tampa Bay game. And I said this last week. I was really getting the feeling that it might be the Green Bay Packers to win this whole thing. But Tom Brady's looking, I mean, they're looking good. Look at everybody that's getting catches. Look at how spread out this is. Mike Evans, Bernard, Gronk, Johnson, Brady, Vaughn, Miller, Perryman, Howard. I mean, Tom Brady was 29 of 37, 271 yards, two touchdowns. He was sacked four times, as you saw when Wirfs goes out there. Their offensive line was beaten up, yet he still found a way to have 115.2 rating. I mean, he was solid. It's a depleted Bucs team I know Philly scored 15 points in the fourth quarter. That partly, I mean, again, you have a defense that's playing prevent. We've seen this time and time again. But you really need your offensive line back. And without Tristan Wirfs being in there, whew, that hurts. That's your best lineman. That's your guy. He has been Tom Brady's protector all year. According to ESPN, it's going to come down to the wire as far as his status for this weekend for Tampa Bay. So without him, things do get a little bit rocky going forward. But for the most part, Tampa Bay looked to be in kind of that true Super Bowl-esque type form. Will it be enough to go up against whoever wins tonight? Because you got the Packers taking on the 49ers. You have the Bengals taking on the Titans already. We know that. You have the Bills taking on the Chiefs. We're just waiting for the result for tonight. Can the Bucs beat either the Rams or the Cardinals? I think they can. But again, The Bucs are absolutely depleted. However, it does look like Tom Brady's taking it personally, that people are counting them out. Well, for the second year in a row with Tampa Bay, for sure, gets to the divisional round. We'll see if Tampa Bay can keep it rolling. 15 minutes after the hour, we're going to switch gears, talk to Jerry Schimmel, see if there's any changes we should be concerned about with the Bears' upcoming game against Idaho. We'll pick his brain a little bit about the Denver Nuggets, and a little bit more, probably, with the man, the myth, the legend, Jerry Schimmel. 16 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Follow NoCo Preps Hoops with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans. And you're listening to the whole show. Wait, the whole show? What is this, a show about boats? Anyway, it's here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You know, it's funny that Jerry recorded that for us. I don't think he did that live, did he? Although I wouldn't put it past him. There is a Facebook account, and there is an event. I think it's in, like, South Carolina, so I'll take you there, Jerry, sometime. There actually is a whole show, and it's a boat event. It's about boats, yes, and that's exactly right. So there is a competing Facebook page out there. Search it. I think they're just called Whole Show, and they've been a bitter rival of mine ever since we started this program.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll have to check that out. Sorry about that.
No, I had to laugh. It's hilarious. It's great. I remember trying to come up with the domain name for everything, and it's like, wait, it's already taken. But I want to go there sometime.
How about this, then? How about the half show rather than the whole show?
We can do that. I mean, sometimes I do feel like I only put in about 50%, so it probably wouldn't be that far from the truth. Jerry, are we ever going to see the Bears play a basketball game again?
Man, I'm hoping that is the case. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah,
two weeks between games is way too long.
It's they've played two games since Christmas? Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And then, of course, the last time we saw them, this is what's got to be tough, Jerry. Is the last time we saw this Bears team, they lose to Sac State, a game. You know, we certainly thought that they should win, but they lose in a big way. Could never really get things going. So they've had to chew on that now for a couple of weeks. That's got to be excruciating for this team.
I would think so. Steve Smiley said the same thing in the coach's show, Brady, on the station. He said, you know, you lose a game like that, you want to get right back on the court and redeem yourself and get that winning taste back. And they felt like they could certainly do that on Saturday. The game's postponed. Another game after that is postponed. So, yeah, it's really difficult to sit for 2 weeks anytime, whether you win or lose. I think especially when you lose, because you want to get it back out there. And you're leading the conference at the time. Still leading, tied for the lead, but you're leading the conference. You look like the best team in the league. You want to go back out there and show people you're better than that.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, because big things, though, you know, when we saw them against Southern Utah, winning 91-81, you're thinking, okay, this Bears team is the real deal. So what was it with that Sac State game, Jerry? I mean, do you just look at a game like that and think, maybe this is just a team that maybe got a little bit ahead of themselves, started looking down that schedule, hearing what all of us, you know, talking about them on the radio or saying about them? Or is it one of those off nights or just somewhere in between?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of those things. I really do. I think it wasn't a whole lot of, hey, we're looking past this team because they're winless in the conference and we are undefeated. I don't think there was a lot of that. There was probably some of it almost subconsciously, I think, Brady. I think it was more almost a perfect storm. You know, the Sacramento State team came in, worst three-point shooting in the Big Sky, and they lit it up that day. They couldn't miss. They had two guys that doubled their scoring average from the season. They had a Bears team that could not find the range, 5 for 25 after hitting, 19 the game before at Southern Utah, and that was on the road. So just didn't play well. Steve Smiley said something interesting before the game in the pregame show. Brady, and maybe you caught it, he said, you know what, if we don't play a physical game like Sacramento State wants us to play, we're going to get beat today. And that's what happened, too. They weren't willing to play that physical game. This got out toughed. You know, they got pushed around a little bit. I think lost composure in the process and never could get back in the game after an early deficit.
We're talking to Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears, also host of Amazing Americans. I want to get to that in a moment. I listened to the entire show over the weekend, Jerry. It was sensational, so I want to get into that in a moment. But you've got games against Idaho and Eastern Washington coming up. Important games because of what lies ahead on that 27th day of January when they take on Weber State.
Yep, exactly right. So you want to get yourself in a good spot before you play that Weber State game. And you're obviously going out there ready to win every game, and that's got to be your mindset. You know, we got one loss to the conference. Let's keep it that way. And you want to set yourself up for the Big Sky tournament when you hopefully can win three games, go the dance. So every one of these games is vital. It sets you up. If you get a win, it sets you up in a better spot for that tournament coming up in March in Boise, Idaho. So you start by taking care of business in your next game, which is, like you said, coming up on Thursday. And then after that, you got Eastern Washington. And then after that, you got Weber State. So it's probably this conference, Brady, is probably not quite as strong up and down as we saw in football. I mean, that's a really good football league, the Big Sky. But this is a good Big Sky basketball league as well this year. Some very talented teams that have already knocked off the big boys a couple of times. If they haven't, they battle them very well. So none of these games are going to be easy. Even Idaho, the team that's at the bottom of the conference, beat South Dakota State, a terrific Summit League team that's probably going to win that Summit League again. They've gone to the tournament several years in a row. So you can't underestimate anybody, and hopefully the Bears learn that when they lost to Sacramento State at home.
Yeah, you hope you can learn those valuable lessons early at least. And, you know, whatever that lesson is, see if you can take that forward onto your next few games here. And again, that Weber State game should be a lot of fun. But like you said, you got to make sure you set yourself up and be in a good position to make that game mean just a little bit more. Jerry, wanted to pick your brain about the Nuggets a little bit. Nikola Jokic, he's getting triple doubles now well before the games are even over. They beat the Lakers on Saturday by 30. And I mean, that's unbelievable anyway. I'm pretty sure that's the most they've ever beat the Lakers by. But then the Joker didn't even play the fourth quarter.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? You can get a triple double and not even play in the fourth quarter. I mean, that tells you what a tremendous player he is. I think on Saturday night, Brady, if I got these numbers right, I think they're there, 28 minutes of play and had his triple-double. Last night, in a loss, he played 20. It took him 21 minutes to get a triple-double, which is the fourth fastest ever in NBA history to get a triple.
Wow.
21 minutes and you get a triple-double. That is mind-boggling to me in a game that you lose, and you lose big. So he's just an incredibly talented guy who's put it all together, and we've never seen anything like this before. He's now tied with Westbrook for the most triple-doubles in the league this year, and he's going to get many more. If he's getting them by the end of the third quarter, he's probably going to get a lot more this year when he plays in the fourth quarter.
It's just getting easier, isn't it? I mean, last year, yeah, double-doubles were easy, and triple-doubles were cool, and you knew he was capable of them, but there was a lot of work he needed to do to get those. Now, especially with this team around him, none of them are really known at this stage as being these big-time scorers like the Jamal Murrays and Michael Porter Jr. So, again, to be almost these last few games to almost average a triple-double is absolutely insanity to me.
It really is. And I did a post-game show last night and had George Karl on, and George made the great point. He said, it is so rare in the NBA to get a triple-double and lose by 28 points or whatever they lost to by last night. I mean, usually when you get that triple-double, you're on the winning side of things. So he said, I'm not sure what the number is, but it's got to be in the, 10% maybe, that you don't win a game when you have a triple-double. And then he had a triple-double in three quarters, and they lost the game by 26 points. So it just tells you how great he is in these days, that he doesn't have a lot surrounding him because of the injury, especially the two key guys that you talked about. And then they give a night with COVID, you don't know what you're going to get with that roster. So for him to stay consistent that way, be this shining star, this shining superstar on a team that's so up and down, to me, is just absolutely mind-boggling.
I don't want to take anything away from Michael Malone, Jerry, but I want to get your thoughts. What do you think a Nikola Jokic-George Karl combo would have looked like with George Karl in his heyday and the Joker?
You know what's funny? You asked that question because George said that too last night. In fact, he said, "I would have just given anything to coach that guy." He said, "I really like what the job Michael Malone has done, but there's some things I probably would do differently with the guy to make him a little bit better as a teammate, not necessarily score more or get more rebounds or have more assists, but to implement the team, incorporate the team around him to get them more involved. So I think that would have been one incredible combination. And the thing about Jokic, too, is he's such a great citizen. Brady, such a great guy. I mean, Michael Malone said he's the kind of guy that, you know, want your daughter to meet and, you know, to marry. Here's a quick story. One of the assistant coaches was telling me that in the preseason, before they began even playing exhibition games, all the baskets in the practice facility at Pepsi Center were taken. And Jokic comes out, just wants to work on his own, just wants to shoot a little bit. And they said, take that basket over here. We'll get the rookies out of there. He's like, no. Let the rookies play over there. Let them go. Don't do their thing. I'll wait till they're done, and I'll get my time in, and I'll get my shots in. When Carmelo Anthony would have said, get the heck out of here. This is my basket. Any superstar would have. But that's his attitude. It's like, you know, I'm just a fun-loving guy that wants to win basketball games, and if somebody's got my hoop, take it. I'll start shooting when they're done. That says a lot about the guy and the player.
Isn't that something, too? I mean, and there's a lot of players that we say that, but it's not real almost. You know, maybe they're good guys, and once in a while they're doing those things. And I'm not trying to take anything away from the other good guys out there, but Joker is truly that guy. And you hear stories like that all the time, Jerry, where it's, you know, he's yucking it up with a reporter. He's having fun with a reporter. Nowadays, you see so many guys with so much disdain with the media, with fans. This Nikola Jokic, I mean, every single year it seems like he gets a little bit more humble. It's phenomenal to me.
I agree with you, and I think he's every year he improves his game. I think he's better than he was last year as an MVP. I mean, I think he's actually got higher assist numbers this year than he did a year ago on a team that's a mediocre. It's an average team right now because of the injuries. But you're asking about George Karl and him being that combination. You know what he would do if George came to him and said, you know what, I want to change things a little bit. You know what Jokic would be doing? Like, yeah, coach, that sounds great. Let's give it a shot. Maybe we can win more games. Instead of, you know what, I'm the reigning MVP. You're going to tell me how to play my game differently? That would not happen with Jokic. He would be eager to learn more, to do something different, if it meant winning more games.
We're talking to Jerry Schemmel. He's the voice of the UNC Bears. Also, he has a plethora of knowledge when it comes to all things Denver Nuggets. And, you know, when I look at this team, again, you see all the great things with Nikola Jokic, and MVP numbers, no question about it. Waiting on Jamal Murray, waiting on Michael Porter Jr. Where do you see this team finishing up, Jerry, at the end of the day? And again, even if Porter does make a miraculous return and Murray does, in fact, stay on somewhat schedule and comes back at the end of the season, where do you see this team? Do those two stars pick up where they left off last time we saw them out? Or is there going to be a lot of rust to shake off? Would we be shocked if the Nuggets lose in the first round?
Yeah, you know, I try to look at that. That's a great question. I try to look at it from a realistic eye, and I think the Nuggets are probably a year away from being that championship-caliber team. I think even if – and the reports are that Michael Porter Jr. is doing really well, can come back before the end of the regular season around April 1st, which is the timetable for Murray as well. So that, Brady, only gives him a couple weeks of the regular season to kind of fit back in and get the rust off and then go in the playoffs that way. I think my thought is they'll get in the playoffs. They're good enough to make the top eight in the conference, but I don't know if they're going to make a realistic long run at the playoffs. They might make the second round. I would not be surprised if they were competitive, but got beat in the first round. But if they're healthy going in next year with those two guys, with Jokic, then you can start talking about a championship run, because I think with that combination, that threesome of players, no matter who you put around them, and I think Aaron Gordon and some others are good complementary players. I think you just have those three guys and, you know, call up 11 CBA guys or D-League guys, you're going to have a great team. So I think they might be a year away from being a championship contender, but I would not put it past them to make some kind of little playoff run this year.
Well, I mean, this is kind of the time to do it here. You're in the midst of this home stretch. Get a few games away from that 500 mark. Maybe take some pressure off of yourself. You got the Clippers Wednesday, which, you know, is a bummer of a game last week, but you got the Clippers coming up on Wednesday, Memphis Friday, and then two games against Detroit with Sunday and into next Tuesday. So some opportunities there for the Nuggets to maybe get to that point where they're 4 or 5 games over the 500 mark, which I think would provide some breathing room.
Yep, absolutely. And that's their goal right now. And I think that's that's also realistic. I do believe they're going to come out with vengeance on Wednesday after that embarrassing loss they had a week ago tomorrow at Los Angeles, up by 25 and get beat 87-85.
Ugh.
Almost unheard of. I mean, that was ugly. I think they'll come out with great energy. They'll have 2 days between games. I mean, last night was their third game in four nights. They need a rest physically and mentally. So I think I would be shocked if they didn't win that game on Wednesday. And like you said, they got a good Memphis team and then a poor Detroit team two games in a row. So obviously a great opportunity to put a little distance between them and a couple of teams behind them.
Jerry, after our conversation last week, several calls, wondering when exactly Amazing Americans runs on KFKA, when they can find the podcast and everything. And boy, it's a show I'm proud to say we carry here at KFKA. I'm listening. I was on the road back and forth, dropping some vehicles off, getting them, you know, recall that good stuff. And I get a chance to listen to your entire show. Napoleon Kaufman, that was a fantastic guest of yours. And boy, that program, since you started it, you just continue to grow it. It's a lot of fun to listen to. Very inspiring, too.
Well, I appreciate that, Brady. That's very kind of you. It's been a blessing for me. I've had a blast doing it. And, you know, just to get reaction from people, listening to a show like Napoleon Kaufman and hearing his story, how he walked away from tens of millions of dollars to follow the call of God. And we've had, you know, Broncos executives on that have gone through alcoholism and people hearing this story and going to rehab themselves. I mean, those kinds of reactions and responses to the show are really why we do it. So we're trying to inspire people and try to motivate people, and we've been able to do that with several of these guests. So been blessed by it. The Napoleon Kaufman one was one of my favorites. I mean, he's not only got a great story, but he's so articulate and he's funny. And I don't know if you caught the part where I asked him about how'd you end up at Washington. He's like, they tricked me into coming there. It was just hilarious. So, that was one of my favorite ones that we've done. We've done 120 now, and Napoleon Kaufman was one of my very favorites. That was a good one.
Yeah, again, it's a great show. And sometimes, Jerry, even if I'm not that familiar with the athlete that you've had on or the individual that you're having on, you still provide so many unique stories where after the fact, after the show, I'm going, all right, I got to find out more about this person, because that's what that program does. And again, I just, we thank you for doing it, man. Nothing really like it on the radio airwaves. And I know you wanted to provide a real positive, inspiring type radio program, and that's exactly what you have.
I appreciate that, Brady. That means a lot, because that's the whole idea behind the show, is to do something different, some kind of positive, uplifting type of programming. And so far, that's been the case. And we've intentionally put guests on there that nobody's ever heard of for that reason. I didn't want this to be a show where Jerry's talking to celebrities every week. That's not the idea. So to get to have you have that reaction, like, I've never heard this person before, that I was inspired by her or him, that means a lot to us. That's what we're after.
Well, Jerry, we love it, man. We love the program. We love your Bears coverage. We know we're back at it with the coaches show. We've got Jaden hanging out in studio with us today, or on the production side, hanging out with Micah today. So I'm sure he'll be
Very
out
nice.
There tomorrow.
Very nice. All right. We're looking forward to that. Thank you, Brady. Appreciate the kind words.
All right, my friend. That's Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears, host of Amazing Americans. If you want to find out more, amazingamericans.org. You can go there. Check it out. Jerry is a phenomenal guy. I've gotten a chance to know him more and more over this last year. And boy, not many better than that individual there. 38 minutes after the hour, we're going to jump out of here and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Thanks to Miranda Simpson, having someone local has never been more important. She's here and ready to help you with all of your insurance needs. She's working in the Northern Colorado area, Fort Collins, Greeley, Loveland, you name it. She's also a Colorado State University graduate. She's active, but very active in the CSU Ram Club community. So she's working throughout Northern Colorado, Fort Collins. She supports the local sports that we know and love, and we thank her for being a part of this program. Give her a buzz, 970-223-7800. That's Miranda Simpson of State Farm Insurance. 44 minutes after the hour, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Are you a fan? Do you like the addition of the two new playoff teams? Essentially seeing that now play out for the last couple of seasons here. It's here to stay, I believe. I don't think that's going to change, but it does allow us, the way they've slid things around, it does allow for a Monday Night Football game, which I'm all right with three nights of football in a row. I think that'll work for me. Pretty happy about that. So, Arizona, Los Angeles, going at it tonight. Kyler Murray looked unbeatable, and many times this season he does look unbeatable. But, you know, obviously there was a stretch in the season for AZ where they faded away. I mean, at one point in the season, we thought this team was going to easily be a contender for the Super Bowl. But then they beat Houston 31-5 on Sunday, October 24th. Since that point, that's when they were 7-0. Since that point, they've been kind of back and forth. You know, they lose it to Green Bay, which is understandable. That was their first loss of the season. Then they go beat San Francisco. And as you've seen, San Francisco moved on to the divisional round. Then you lose to Carolina. Then you beat Seattle. Then you beat Chicago. And then you lose three in a row, including a loss to the Los Angeles Rams, 30-23. I think Murray had a pretty decent game, if I remember correctly. But he did throw two costly interceptions, but he was, you know, almost 400 yards passing. It was Matt Stafford, on the other hand, though, that lit it up. I think he had a few touchdowns. He threw for almost 300 yards. He was just efficient. And you know, the rest of what your team was at Cooper Kupp, who, that's one of those reasons everybody's going to pick the Los Angeles Rams right now, because he has been playing lights out this season. In the game against Arizona, he had 13 receptions for 123 yards and one touchdown. So to say that guy is a problem is an understatement. You know, and you get Odell Beckham Jr. in that mix now, and this Rams team. Also, don't forget, you do have Von Miller. Are you rooting for Von tonight? I'm sure you are, because it has been cool to see at least Von get an opportunity here. Maybe he'll come up with one of those plays like he did. Maybe he'll have a playoff run a lot like he did with the Broncos. Remember that run? He was absolutely unstoppable, and then moving right along to become the Super Bowl MVP, which ultimately is why he got that monster contract going forward. So kind of rooting for Vaughn tonight. However, I did pick Arizona to win this game. I think I'm sitting at 3-2. I lost the Raiders-Bengals game. I did pick the Raiders to win, and I picked the Cowboys to win as well. So, all right, lost two. We're going for 4-2. I would feel good about 4-2 if I can get this one tonight. This should be a good one, though. I'm really excited about the Monday Night Football playoff situation. I mean, let's give me more of that. I'm all for it. Going to be a lot of fun. Hey, let me tell you, Weldworks on Fridays, they have the new beer releases every Friday at noon. That's Weldworks. Their beer, I mean, you've had it. Odds are, if you're in the area, you have had a Weldworks brew. No doubt. They are popular. They are famous. Michael Malone frequents this place. I don't know if he frequents. But when COVID hit, there was one place he thought about, and that was Weldworks. Take his advice. Stop by, tell him we sent you here from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. That's Weldworks Brewing. They got Friday beer releases every single Friday at noon. 48 minutes after the hour, we're going to wrap up the show. On the other side, we'll get to what's on TV. There's a lot on TV. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, such a special day, but you got a lot of hockey going on, a lot of basketball going on, and of course, Monday Night Playoff Football. Talking about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Bears basketball on the Voice of the Bears, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Well, you got Dallas saying Mike McCarthy defending the quarterback draw play, which I do as well. It seemed like the right call, especially given the defense that San Francisco was in. He went on to say, shouldn't have had problem getting the ball spotted. I mean, it's true. It was a weird situation. 14 seconds left, no timeouts. Prescott ran for 17 yards, the quarterback draw. The ball was not spotted quickly enough for Dallas to spike it before time expired. Prescott, according to ESPN.com, thought he should have had a chance for a final throw to end to the end zone. Coach Mike McCarthy thought there would be a review from New York. Both defended the final play call despite the risk of having the game end the way it did. According to referee Alex Kemp, there were no mistakes on their part. The umpire spotted the ball correctly, Kemp said in a pool report. He collided with the players as he was setting the ball because he was moving it to the proper spot, which, again, you can't argue that. It was the way it was. It was a strange situation. I hate having to rely on a referee that's not in the near the same shape as these athletes are, running up and down the floor trying to place the ball. But there it is. That's it. Cowboys are done. All right, you got the Colorado Avalanche taking on Minnesota right now. They're up 2-0. They just ended the first period there. Also, you have Monday Night Football tonight, plus a lot of NBA basketball all day long. Games are going on right now. And Monday Night Football, Arizona, Los Angeles Rams, getting at it, 6:15 on ABC. I like the Cardinals. Who do you like? It's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Tuesday. We've got Betting Across America coming up at 2 o'clock. We'll see what they have to say about this game tonight, as well as the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. And then Monday Night Football, Monday Night Playoff Football here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Good night, Northern Colorado.